Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Baptist Christian Church today. It's a beautiful day out for Mother's Day, so it's a nice day to honor our mothers. We'd like to give our sympathy to the family of Ralph Schwartzel, who passed away Wednesday to go to be with the Lord. They've got the viewing today is from 4 to 7, and the funeral tomorrow is at 10:30 at Fisher Funeral Home. Also, the opportunities for this week is today at 10:45 we have Sunday school for all ages. If you'd like to stay for Sunday school, let us know and we'll make sure you get to the right class. Also, you'll see there that Stacy and Paula Odom are proud grandparents again. Congratulations to Brent and Christina Odom for their new little boy, Tavin Victor Odom. He's not very big, but they say he's doing really well and very healthy. So I'll keep him in our prayers to continue to grow and do well. Also, non-perishable food items and paper products for Emmanuel's Food Pantry. You can still donate to that for May. And on Vocation Bible School, they're still needing somebody to help with pre-kindergartens and kindergartners, and last week I played it up that how good they were, and then Pastor Rich got up here and told you they weren't so great, so I think he's going to take that class. Also, for graduation breakfast next week, we so far just Adam Kennel, but I'm sure he'd appreciate all of us coming and celebrating with him on his graduation. Also, keep Steve Schwartzel in your prayers, not only with him losing his father, but he's going in somewhere, I think around the 21st of this month, to have surgery. They found a small tumor on his one of his kidneys, and they're going to remove that. So just keep him in your prayers. Memory verse for this week is Psalms 119:52. I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Yes, I am going to take that class, and Dave, I'm going to ask you to help me. Happy Mother's Day, ladies, and don't forget to take a flower or two before you leave here this morning, okay? So you just come up and get those after the service. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
We're glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Sarah's a neat story. You know, she has a real burden and heart for missions work and knows the Lord's called her there, and she's been working in California for some time. And the good news is her mission work is progressing and working. The bad news is she's done it so good that they've asked her to stay out there, and so she's taken a staff position at the hospital. Yeah, see, Sarah, we don't remember getting any letter from you asking permission to do that or anything, you know, so. And, no. Huh? Way to go, pull rank, huh? We're glad for you, and you're looking good. We're glad you're here for a while and always appreciate a visit, okay? And we will keep praying for you because we think what you're doing is a good thing. You can see all the things that are there. There's a lot going on. Just remember everything that is a part of it, and God is continuing to bless. It is good to see you all here this morning on a beautiful day. It is good to worship in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Let's just pray now and ask God to come and minister to us as only he can do. Father, it is our privilege to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship the almighty, eternal God of heaven. And, oh, Father, what a blessed promise and privilege to look forward to being with you forever and ever and ever in your heaven, to experience the blessing of a new heaven and a new earth without any part of sin or unrighteousness. Our hearts rejoice we pray, even so, come quickly. What a great thing it would be. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the blessings that you have shared with us, and again for our great salvation in Christ. And our Father, we pray that everything done in this hour will be pleasing to you, and we would ask that it would in its entirety be an act of worship. We thank you for the privilege of sharing with you tithes and offerings, and we give them to you with a cheerful heart in the powerful, eternal, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. The Mother's Day flowers are really pretty, aren't they? Pretty flowers for beautiful mothers.
Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 21 through 25. Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him. and who were left behind at the Bezer ravine. They came out to meet David and the people with him. As David and his men approached, he greeted them. But all the evil men and the troublemakers among David's followers said, "Because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them plunders we received. However, each man may take his wife and his children and go." David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and handed over to us the force that came against us. Who will listen to you? Who will listen to what you say? The share of men who stayed in the with the supplies is to be the same as that who as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike." David made this a statute and ordinance for Israel from that day to this. Thanks.
Amen. Bow with me in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, it is a great privilege to be able to sing a song and to know in our hearts that we belong to the King. We are your adopted children, and it is all because of your love and your grace and your mercy, your kindness to us. Thank you for being such a great and wonderful and loving and caring God. And thank you, Father, for reaching down to us in salvation and calling us to yourselves while we were still your enemies. Thank you for the redeeming work of Christ. Thank you for the shed blood and the power of that blood to change lives. And we thank you today that by your grace and by an act of your power, you have called us here to worship as a family today. And we do thank you for our families. And we thank you for your ordained plan in families. And we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for their influence in our lives. We thank you for all that they do. And Father, we thank you that you have your guiding hand upon them. We pray that this time would bring honor and glory to you. And we pray that you will teach us in our own hearts, each as the Spirit knows we need to hear. So we pray that you'll help us as husbands and fathers to hear and to understand our ministry and responsibility. And we pray, our Father, that you will speak to all of us, that when we leave here this day, we might leave here with changed lives because we have allowed the Spirit of God to work in our hearts. Oh, Father, how we love you today, and we thank and praise and honor and glorify you. We do it all in that matchless name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel 30. Now, Somebody's probably thinking, surely he is not going to talk about war on Mother's Day. Oh, no, I'm not. Somebody else might be thinking, no. Actually, what he's going to do is tell Mom to stay back at the house with the kids and stuff while Dad goes off to war. Well, no, that's not it either. What I'd like to do out of this passage is show you some principles that godly Christian moms have been practicing forever. It's a neat passage, really, and it shows us the heart and the character of David. And actually, what David does here becomes law in Israel. The same character that we see here is demonstrated in godly Christian moms and homes today. And I think it's important that, especially as husbands, that we're reminded that more times than not, it's our wives that often teach the principles but don't generally get the reward that they deserve. And you know what? That's why when it comes to husbands or wives or children, anybody, I'm thankful that God is the ultimate rewarder. Aren't you? God keeps perfect records and will reward us according to all that we have done. And I'd like to start in this passage, and I'd like to look. And the first thing that I'd like to say is this. Number one, godly mother is still only human. What a profound revelation. Aren't you glad you came today? Now, a godly mother is still only human. What we read, the little portion that we read in this chapter, actually begins because David suffered temporary amnesia. If you'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 27, please. 1 Samuel chapter 27, look at verse 1. David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Now, that's the amnesia part kicking in. I mean, God didn't take any time, waste any time saying what was wrong here. I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. So David and the 600 men with him left and went over to Achish, son of Maachah, the king of Gath. David and his men settled in Gath and Achish. Each man had his family with him, and David had his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel. I didn't know she was a Hoosier. The widow of Nabal. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. Isn't that interesting? Why did David do all of this? Why did this happen in the first place? Well, as so often happens, he got caught up in the events of life, and those events of life caused David to take his eyes and his focus off God and begin to look at the storm going on around him. Now, that was Old Testament. In New Testament, we would say it was a Peter experience. He got out of the boat, and as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, everything was okay. And then all of a sudden, he realized, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? And he began to sink. David took his eyes off the Lord. He got caught up in what was going on around him, and it affected him in his living and in his thoughts and all that he did. Now, in today's language, if we took this little part out of chapter 27 and we put it in today's language, here's the way we would say it. Yes, I know I'm a Christian. I know that I am washed in the redeeming blood. I have made a covenant with God because of that shed blood to repent of my sin, to turn from it and no longer walk in it, but to walk in the way of godliness. But things have gotten so bad for me that the best thing I can do to stay out of trouble is blend in with the world. That way nobody will be after me. So I'll just, I know I'm a Christian. God knows I'm a Christian. But man, it's getting hot. And so I'll just keep all that to myself and I'll blend in. And that way it won't be so bad. And I'll keep from being hurt. I'll keep from being hurt by the people I work with, by the people around me. And by the way, a lot of times we even think, I'll keep from being hurt by my loved ones. How many times around our unsaved family do we forget that we're still witnesses? Even in front of our unsaved family. And so David kind of let that philosophy take over. Do you know why he did all of that? Go back to chapter 16 with me, if you will, please. We're kind of working backwards here. But go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, please. Look at verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king." Now look at verse 11, please. So Samuel asked Jesse, after all of his sons had passed in front of him, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he's tending the sheep." And Samuel said, "We'll send for him. We'll not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. And he was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brother. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Then Samuel went to Ramah. Now, you know that it was that event where God and David got together and he was anointed and God said, "This man is the next king of Israel." Now, beloved, listen. God promised David. God said to David and to Samuel, "This man, David, is the next king of Israel." Now, God knew everything that was going to happen in between the anointing and as king there and his coronation. He knew what Saul was going to do, and he knew what life would be like for David. And God allowed it to happen because while David was hiding in the caves, he learned a lot of things about how God works in a person's life in adversity. But in the humdrum of the daily activities between, are you ready? Listen, in New Testament language, between David's salvation and his homegoing, he got caught up in the activities of the world. And he said, "If I'm not careful, Saul's going to kill me." Oh, really? Well, if Saul's going to kill you, then why did God say you're the next king of Israel? What's up with that? How do you put those two together? Well, God made a promise. God never makes a promise without keeping it, listen, to the fullest. God has made a promise to us. And David let that slip. And it kind of got him in a little trouble. But I want you to see something. Now, is there a mom here today that hasn't at some point thought, those the most determined to destroy her are those in her own family? Huh? Sometimes, does it even seem like sometimes the husband and the kids and even the grandkids all get together and they have a powwow and they say, "How can we get to mom?" And it seems like everybody in the whole world is against you. And mom, does it seem, or I'm sorry, husbands, does it seem like that there's an attitude sometimes that neither you nor God can ever do anything right? Does that float around once in a while? See? Now, some of you are smiling. Some of you are crying. So, you know, in both ways, I'm catching a message here. It was bad for David. And in chapter 30 and the first 8 verses, here's what we read. Chapter 30, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now, the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They'd killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. And when David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it, destroyed it by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's 2 wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found his strength in the Lord. Okay? Now, there are 2 things going on here, 2 things that you have to see. First of all, we just read that David was greatly distressed. This would have probably been a 2 or 3 Tums day. There was a lot of things going on, and he was stressed to the breaking point. But would you notice, please, the thing that comes through in Scripture constantly that helps us understand why David was a man after God's heart was in this kind of distress, where now even his 600 fighting men are angry with him. Now David is among the enemy. He's worried about Saul. Now, because of this, his own men are mad at him. And so what does David do? Well, it comes out here, he found his strength in the Lord. Now, in the midst of all this, David finds strength in God. Now, listen very carefully. Listen. You understand this. When life is at its worst and Satan is shooting at you from every possible situation, Mom, it takes real Christian strength and character. You need to be solidly grounded in Christ to turn to him in the midst of that. And you know the impressive thing? A whole bunch of the women in this room actually do that. You do that. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later on. But in his distress, David found his strength in the Lord. Job says something about this in chapter 13 and verse 15 when he says, chapter 13, verse 15, though God slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Job understood. David understood in Psalm 18, and I've shared that with you. David says, I love you, O Lord of my strength. Make the connection there. David found strength in the Lord, and here he prays, God, you are the Lord of my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Let me ask you something. Ladies in your distress, men too, ladies, men in your distress, can you pray like this? Can you pray like this to God? Can you call forth these names of God? Can you say, you are all I need? I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise and am saved from mine enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled round me. The snares of death confronted me. Okay? Watch. In my distress, I called to the Lord. And what happened? I cried to my God for help. Look, from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came before him into his ears. Now, watch. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advance. Now, if you write in your Bible and you want to, where it says in verse 12, the brightness of his presence, that's the Shekinah glory of God that will light heaven for all eternity. That's the very essence of what God is. With hailstones and bolts of lightning, the Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath your nostrils. Let me ask you something. Is that the way you see God? Is that the God who saved you? Is that the God you fear? Do you understand why David enjoyed the relationship with God that he did? Because he saw God as God. David understood the power of God, the majesty, the royalty, the glory. David understood the person of God and therefore feared him greatly. Is that the way you see him? And in response to this, now remember, this is God is describing how David how God responded to David, and he said, I cried to God, and from his temple he heard me. Now, in verse 16 it says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Huh? Mom, when we're on you the wrong way, when you're greatly distressed because we as husbands have forgotten to see you as the great gift you are from God, as the children have seemingly turned against you, and it looks like your whole world is falling in, open your Bible to Psalm 18 and read this. Because you, as the adopted child of God, are the subject of that verse 19. And guys, the same goes for us. Mom, listen, in today's culture, where wives and moms are pressured almost to the breaking point of being super moms. No matter what the world may tell you, no matter even what your family may try to tell you, it's still okay to be human, because humans are the only part of creation made in the image and likeness of God, and God still deals with human beings. And he deals very specially with moms. So, Mom, God has a great interest in you. And even when life is at its most hectic, its most distressing, you can take a breath and you can say in your heart, Father, thank you for choosing me. I need your power to help me in my humanity. Because all that I am is still only human. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Verse 9. David and the 600 men went with him to rescue the Besor ravine, where some stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and the 400 men continued in pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. Interesting passage there. And I thought of this. A godly mom is sensitive to the needs and hurts of others. A godly mom is sensitive to the needs and hurts of others. When David was running from Saul, he began to hide in the system of caves, they're called the Caves of Adullam, and they're about 15 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And it's southwest of Bethlehem. It's a whole system of caves. Now, while he was there, these 400 men were 400... discontents. They were 400 men that society would rather not have anything to do with. They kind of joined up with David. It's the old saying, birds of a feather. But David took these 400 men and he began to train them. And David worked with them until they became the Green Berets, or the special forces of the day. And when David actually became king, these 600 men became his 600 fighting men. They were his elite special forces. The 200 joined him a little bit later, and I guess you could say in modern lingo, or what's going around now, is they became a band of brothers. And so they were very close. What's the point here? Those 200 men at this time became part of David's family. He had a lot invested in them. And now he knew that rest would pay big dividends later. David understood the hurts and the needs of his family. And you know what? Moms are pretty good at that. Moms kind of have the inside track on that. And I wonder, they probably would never share it with us, but I'll bet there have been times they thought they were the general of an army full of malcontents, huh? Huh? Thinking, man, this is something. Godly moms have a special way of not just seeing what their family needs, but what each person is, and more than that, what each person can be. Now, dads, listen, we all have a great vision, don't we? We want our daughters to grow up to be strong, godly women who are as successful as they can be. And we know that it'll take a perfect man that God will create somewhere to be their mate, and we'll allow them to start looking for him about age 30. And for their sons, dads have a great way. Now, this works for sons, but it works for daughters too. Dads have a great heart vision to help their kids be all that dad wants them to be. And mom plays into that because mom has X-ray eyes, and she can see right into the heart, and she understands what's going on. And so she's doing two things here. She's helping that young person become all they want to be, while at the same time training dad to let them be what they can be instead of necessarily what he wants them to be, right? Dad, mom ever talk to you sometime and say, hey, back off. Let them develop into themselves. God gives mom a heart like that. And she helps us be not just what we can be, but kind of what God's put in our heart. She also has a wonderful way of nurturing and disciplining each of us in the ways of the Lord. And God gives her that ability. They can tell when stuff like depression and anxiety and sadness and loneliness and frustration, even when anger and bitterness and all that garbage is in our eyes and in our expressions and in our hearts. And Dad, you and I are busy leading the charge on life, aren't we? But mom sees the need for comfort and encouragement and friendship and rest. And she's the one that reminds the family that dad loves them, even while he's telling them what they ought to be. And moms, you don't ever want to stop doing that, because that's the way God works in you to show us the tender, loving, merciful, gracious side of our Heavenly Father. Don't ever quit. I know a woman that prayed for nearly 20 years that God would be able to get a hold of her husband's heart. And God honored that prayer. Moms notice and deal with the hurts of others. Look at verse 18 in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, David took the 400 men, and he went in to Ziklag. And in verse 18 it says, David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought back everything. He took all the flocks and herd, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." And then there's the portion that was read earlier about coming back and the 400 saying, hey, those 200 lazy bums that stayed here, they don't get anything. We're the ones that went to fight. And David said, no, that's not right. A godly mother often stays with the luggage. Stays with the luggage. Huh? What? To me, this is where it all comes home. David demonstrated his true character here as a man after God's heart. In essence, the 400 said, these 200 who didn't fight don't get anything. And David said, baloney. We're in this together. We'll share together. Here's what David said. We are not two families, one of 400 and another of 200. We are one family of 600. Now, somewhere there's a message for the New Testament church in there. And David said, we all worked in our own position, doing our own job to get all of this back. We recovered everything that was stolen, and so we will all share in equal amounts. And verse 25 said that that actually became law. Men, teenagers, you young people that are in here, do you know what the mother's peace is? Have you ever heard that expression? Well, that's the mother's peace. Might just be a family thing, I don't know. The mother's peace is the heel of bread in the loaf. Or it is the piece of pie that looks more like jambalaya. You know that it started out as pie, but now it looks like a heap. Huh? The mother's peace is the piece of crumbled cake or the little tiny burnt shriveled up wing, or it's that last piece of roast that's 98.5% gristle. Are you kind of figuring this out? That's the mother's peace. And you know why they call it that? Because when mom fixes whatever it is you like, the way you like it fixed, she just sort of acts like she's part of it, but sort of pushes it to you, and you get all you want, and then she takes kind of what's left over, and usually there's just enough to make her happy. Because to her, the mother's peace is okay. She likes to watch you enjoy it. That's her blessing. And I wonder how many times mom taxis and shuffles back and forth and keeps track of the schedule, and she makes sure everybody gets where she's supposed to get. All the soccer practice, baseball, basketball, whatever it might be. She makes sure all that happens, right? Dad's off to war. He's doing his part. But she makes all that happen. But at the end of the season, when the trophies are awarded, who goes on stage? Dad. This is my boy. Huh? This is my player. Right? And mom sits in the audience. But it's okay, because the mother's peace will do. Did you ever stop to think how many times mom may have been up during the night cleaning up after a sick child, nurturing them, caring for them, napping as she can while dad slumbers away. Wakes up in the morning ready to go. Mom's there. But that's okay, because the mother's peace is sufficient. Have you ever noticed how everybody's sitting around having a good time at a meal, just really enjoying everything? And what's Mom doing? She's sitting over here with a full plate, feeding the little one. Right? Helping, making sure it's taken care of. And what happens? Everybody else gets done and they enjoy it. And then Mom turns around and it's cold. And it's left there. And she eats it. Because the mother's peace is okay. It's okay. The list goes on and on and on. Just like the warriors who stayed back to guard the supplies, Mom often waits with the luggage. In the background. Because it's in a mother's heart to push her family to the foreground, not just to the brink, but way, way into the realm of success. And that desire to drive and to see her family, her husband, her children, her grandchildren experience success is as fierce and as focused as any general on a field of battle. And to all of us husbands and fathers, we ought never, never, never forget that we are one family undivided. And Mom deserves her rightful full share. And we ought to do all that we can do to see that that happens. Solomon was right when he said, "A virtuous woman has a price that is far above rubies." It is right that we honor our mothers. It is wrong if we do it only one day a year. Moms are to be honored, exalted, lifted high, nurtured, cared for, protected. Every day, all day, because they are a high and holy gift from God. Amen. Amen. Our Father, it is our privilege to look into the Word of God and understand that there are principles given throughout that you have given that we are to apply to our daily lives. And I thank you, Father, for all the wives and mothers, for the women that you have given to us, because you have given to them a very special and powerful ministry. And how we thank you. We would ask you to remind us daily that they are only human, and to treat them with the tender, loving care that we expect from you. We ask you to help us as men to see in our hearts as they see the hurts and the needs of others. And we pray, our Father, that you will help us recognize that they are often in the background serving unobtrusively because you've given them the desire in their hearts. Help us, our Father, to see and recognize them as you do. What a blessed gift. What a precious gift is this thing called womanhood. Thank you. Thank you for creating us male and female in your image. We love you, Father, and we pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 299. This is the time when you have the opportunity to respond to the way God has worked in your heart. Maybe this would be the day you would come and say, you know what? On this Mother's Day, I want to be redeemed. I want to repent of my sins and accept that gracious invitation to be cleansed in the blood, my sins taken away, and begin a new walk to Christ. Maybe you'd like to say today, I have done that, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I've never made it public, and I want to do that. Maybe you would like to come and be a part of this family. You know that's where God wants you. Maybe you'd just like to say, I want those who will to pray for me, and that would be okay too. And if you want to just come and pray here and kneel, that's okay. You can come and pray. As God leads, you respond. Let's stand together. You come. Our Father, it is a blessed privilege to stand with brothers and sisters in Christ and sing and pray that we have decided to follow Jesus. And we thank you for extending the invitation. There will be many temptations in the days before us to turn back, to hide ourselves in the crowd, to look like the enemy. We would ask you, Father, to stop us in our tracks and keep us from doing that. And we pray that you would make all of us sensitive to the needs of others around us. We would ask you, Father, to do great and wonderful things through us. Thank you for all who have come to be a part today. Strengthen and encourage and bless. It is our privilege now to go forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and continue the ministry that you have given to each of us. And we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen.